Okay. Elvina McCain, our Father, King Father, we thank you for this time that we could learn more about intercession and also put it into practice. Father, learn how to, that our prayers will become effective, and so we will pray correctly according to your word. In Yeshua's name, amen. I just want to share a little section here from this intercessory prayer school. It's actually by an intercessor, Suzette Hannington. She's actually from South Africa. And this is what she says regarding the harvest of intercession. God is the God of the harvest. The principles of sowing and harvesting are in the very character of God, and even nature teaches that. It is the same in intercession. It is impossible to sow and not reap in prayer. Your heart is like the earth. What you put in it, it will produce. The Ruach HaKodesh draws a picture in your spirit, and what you see, you will produce. I want to read from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. This is a Tree of Life version. Now Yeshua was going around all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and sickness. So here you see when he was going about, again, he was going to the synagogues, he was proclaiming the kingdom, and along with that, healing every kind of disease and sickness, because that is part of the kingdom. When he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out workers into the harvest field." You know, there's two things that the majority of believers struggle with. And one thing is intercession. And not saying everybody, but the majority of is intercession and prayer and evangelizing, going out there and preaching the good news. So again, prayer and evangelism go hand in hand, and we need to pray. I mean, there is no lack of a harvest out there. There is no lack of souls that need to come to Messiah. What there is lack of people to go out there and do what Yeshua told us to do. So that's part of the harvest. We need to pray for workers to come in. So to see fulfillment in ministry, intercession and evangelism have to be coupled together. Number one, passionate pursuit of prayer. In other words, to press in with determination to pray until we see the breakthrough. You know, intercession is not an easy thing. It's a labor of love, but it's not easy, because most of the time your flesh doesn't want to get in there and do it. You know, you're praying by faith. You're praying what you can't see. You're seeing what you're seeing is through the eyes of faith. You're seeing what you believe God wants to do. And even though we don't see our Father, we know He is there, because He is Spirit and He is with us. But again, it's determination to pray. And sometimes, again, you just have to, I know I have to do sometimes, you just have to push that flesh and say, "No, I'm going to spend time with my Father today. I'm going to pray." Number two, penetration evangelism. Reaching out for that which you have prayed for, expecting that God will confirm His word through signs and wonders. Three, the day you cut true intercession from your program, you cut the lifeline from your congregation and your life. However, the day you cut evangelism out of your program, it is like spiritual suicide for your congregation. Cut intercession and you cut the flow. Cut evangelism and you cut the life. In other words, you know, to the call to evangelism is to go out there. Prayer prepares the way. Prayer, intercession prepares the ground, prepares the hearts who God's going to bring across our path. And then evangelism is, then you have to go out there and, you know, like we're going to be doing, go to door and just, you know, hang those door hangers on there, you know, sharing the word when we can with people, but trusting that God will use, you know, that with what we're doing. We're also praying and interceding for, I'm doing some groundwork now, having a tent meeting for 3 days of Sukkot to bring people in. Hopefully we can get some praise and worship together. I already contacted the pastor to see if we could reserve the time to do this. But again, this all has to be prepared through intercession. So that is the same thing we did for when God told us to do the conferences. There's only a handful full of people that did it. And I was pretty much at the helm and getting everything together, getting the hotel lined up, the speakers lined up. But behind the scene, people were praying and interceding for its success, and that God was going to meet the needs and that His anointing would be there. And again, we had four great conferences, you know, with averaging 300 people a conference. But we want to just not be teaching or preaching to the choir. We want to reach those that are lost. And I believe that, you know, it seems like from what I've been studying, during every time, during a time of chaos or upheaval, usually a great awakening or revival follows. You know, and I believe people, especially with this COVID-19, are in great fear, you know, and I believe their hearts will be more open to the gospel. So again, intercession and evangelism go hand in hand. Intercession and evangelism go hand in hand with the success of every ministry. I mean, we just can't sit there and wait for people to walk through our door. Yes, sometimes they do. Sometimes they are proactive and out there looking for a congregation, but most of the time the lost aren't going to do that. You know, you have to go to them. I came to Messiah because somebody came to me numerous times. You know, when I was a teenager, we were in the park. I mean, Teen Challenge was out there witnessing. The Jesus people were out there witnessing and sharing. And again, those were seeds that were planted in my heart. And girls would, you know, come up to me on the street and start sharing, you know, Yeshua with me. But, you know, my flesh was rejecting it, but my heart was like, it was, that word was hitting my heart every time. And look what happened. Hallelujah. And God's timing. Look, again, we don't know who, you know, that person that we lead to Messiah, how that person is going to change the world, especially the next generation. This next generation is lost, and we need to reach them. And I believe there are hungry young people out there, but they just don't know where to go or what to do, because the majority of them don't have parents that brought them up to believe God either. You know, they're just, you know, trying to belong someplace, and unfortunately they're falling for the lies and the deception of the enemy. So again, you can pray and intercede for whatever the Lord gives you to pray for, as long as you keep Yeshua at the center of your intercession, you will hold direction. So I want to share today, as well as praying the word. Why do we pray the word? Why is it important to pray the word for whatever we're believing for and for whatever we're doing? So first, in order for our prayers to be effective and bring results, we must incorporate the Word of God into our prayers. The Word is our stock, our raw material, and our backbone in prayer. The Word contains the very substance of God Himself. The Bible is the language we use in prayer. If you're familiar with the prayer siddur, I like just reading through it because there's some beautiful insights on intimacy with God and connecting, you know, getting close with the Father. But the majority of the prayers are from Scripture. About 90% of the prayers in the siddur are from Scripture. Everything was made by the Word of God, according to John 1:1-3. We know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yeshua is the living Word. The Word is your substance in prayer. It is your fuel. You can't engage in prayer effectively without your sword, which is the Word of God. We must pray the answer and not the problem. The answer is in God's Word. You know, we don't intercede by kvetching. You know, kvetching is a Yiddish word for complaining. You know, we get into prayer, you know, seeking an answer, seeking victory, not just sitting there and complaining, you know, before the Father. God responds to His word. The angels hearken to the voice of His word. The utterance of God's word activates the supernatural. It puts things in motion in the spirit realm. And our confidence in prayer is that we have asked according to God's will, which is his word. I've been praying this way for over 35, 40 years. Just praying the scripture and praying the word, praying in the spirit. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. It is spirit and life. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We overcome by the word, and God is watching over his word to perform it. The more firmly our prayers are grounded in God's word, the more sure we can be that those prayers are answered. So again, we have a great prayer tool. We have the word of God. You know, if you're praying, if you're believing God for something specific, say in your own personal life, you know, you need to find the scriptures that back up what you are believing God for and what is according to his will. Of course, we have a great tool with the prayers that availeth much. I'm going to put my video on so you can see me. Okay. Again, we've got this prayer tool, prayers that availeth much. You know, it's a great, and they're all scripture prayers. And as you're praying them too, that word is getting into your heart. And there's, again, in the back of the book are the references for all the scriptures that are used, typed out, you know, completely, that you can mark in your Bible or meditate on. So again, this is a great tool to pray. And the more word you have in you, the more accurate you're going to be when you're praying. So here's some scriptures. Isaiah 55, 10 to 11. The word of God will not return void. That's his promise. Says that his word will not return void, but will accomplish what it has been sent forth to do. Luke 4:4, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Yeshua said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. 1 John 5:14 to 15, we must pray according to his will. He will hear and he will answer. Well, his will is what he's already spelled out in his word. He always has shown us what his will is. It's his will for the lost to be saved. It's his will for them to be filled with the Ruach, baptized and serving him. So we know when we're praying for a harvest that God is 100% behind that. He is 100% going forth and winning souls for him. I mean, we don't even have to give a you know, question if that's his will, because we know that's his will. The same thing with healing as well. Matthew 6:10, God says to pray that his will be done. Again, the prayer, our Father who art in heaven. You know, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that God's will is 100% done in heaven, and he wants his will to be done on earth through us. Psalm 138:2, God has magnified his word above his name. He backs his word, and he is not going to not, you know, back what he has said. Jeremiah 1:12, God is watching over his word to perform it. Revelations 12:11, we overcome by the word of our testimony. Matthew 8:5-10, the centurion told Yeshua, speak the word only. Again, we know that story where the centurion knew what authority was, knew that all Yeshua had to do was speak the word because he had the authority to bring the healing and his servant would be healed. Psalm 103:20, the angels hearken to the voice of his word. The angels don't hearken to our complaining, to our kvetching, to our, you know, crying, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves. I mean, there is an intercession of tears, but that's crying out for the loss. But they don't answer in a woe is me prayer. They listen to what the word is, and they hearken to the voice of his word. John 15:7, my word abides in you. Revelation 5:8, the prayers of the saints are stored in heaven. It says that there, you know, the altar of incense in heaven, our prayers are stored there up in heaven. Learning to pray the word of God is like developing a muscle. It takes practice. You must find scriptures related to the topic and pray those scriptures. Well, you know, again, we have a great tool with this prayers that availeth much, but sometimes there may not be a prayer in there that specifically for your need, or specifically maybe for somebody that you're praying for. So you find those scriptures that back up what you are praying and interceding for that person, or even yourself. The same thing, you know, I'm big on writing the vision down. I've done this for over 40 years as well, writing what I'm believing God for and then backing it with scripture as well. And because I know when that prayer is answered, it's like the majority of time God answered it exactly as I had written, and even done exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or thought. But then it takes time getting before the Father and finding out, you know, what His will is, His direction, finding that scriptures. Again, for this ministry, we have that vision written down so that people, you know, that are part of our congregation know what that vision is, you know, based upon the Word of God. We need to develop a simple habit of spending time of reading and meditating the Word daily. The Word is spiritual nourishment. We need a constant supply of the Word of God. I know in the morning when I'm, you know, saying there's just certain scriptures I'm reading over ourselves and our family. Minister Scott, he likes to pray the Word out loud, and he sits there in the morning and he prays. He speaks the Word out loud every day as he's going through the Word. And as you're speaking that Word, it's building strength within you. It's preparing you for the day. We need to deliberately feed the Word of God into our heart by confessing it. The Word must become a living reality in us. The Word will work in our life as we believe it. Again, prayer and faith go hand in hand. It doesn't do any good to intercede and not believe that God's going to answer your prayer. You know, then you're negating your prayers. You know, it doesn't do any good to, you know, thank you, Father, that I'm healed in Yeshua's name. And then the next thing out of your mouth, oh, I hope I don't die. I hope I don't get sick. I hope... You know, we're negating what we're believing God for. So again, faith, trusting God, knowing that He is not a man that He should lie, and that He is watching over His Word to perform it in our life. Meditation involves muttering, speaking, and pondering the Word. Now, when I'm talking about meditating the Word, I'm not talking about sitting there with your arms crossed and your legs crossed and, you know, humming and mumming to yourself. It's about thinking, speaking the Word, hearing yourself say it, pondering it. Sometimes, you know, as you're reading the Word, God will give you a scripture and it'll just reach out to you, and you need to, you know, ponder it. Seek God as he is speaking to your heart about it. Get it in your heart. As we meditate the Word, we are being transformed. Also, that word meditation means to chew over repeatedly. Someone gave an example. It's like a cow chewing its cud. You know, the cud is like seven times, has seven stomachs, and it re-chews and regurgitates that food, you know, several times. And that's the same thing too. We need to, you know, slow down sometimes when we're studying the Word. You know, someone's like, okay, I got to read this as my chapter today, and we read through it real fast. You know, okay, I did my duty for today. You know, it's like, no, we need to read it slowly. And sometimes it just may be one scripture that God is speaking to you that you need to meditate on and think about. And asking, Father, are you speaking to me through this scripture? And then listen to Him. Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. And then it goes on, a workman who need be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Again, we don't have a cut and paste Bible where we just take what we like and then throw the rest away. And we can't take scripture out of context either. So again, we need to meditate on that Word day and night, and, you know, study it correctly so we know what His will is. Joshua 1:8, again, meditate the Word of God day and night. It goes on to say, so you will be successful, you know, by as you meditate on the Word. Proverbs 4:20-23, keep the Word of God before you. You know, if, you know, I know people that they'll put sticky notes all over their house with certain scriptures or whatever works for you, you know, or reminders. You know, I'll put you know, reminders around, or, you know, highlight my Bible and mark it and, you know, flag it. John 15, this is the whole chapter, but basically it's saying abiding in the vine. Without him, we can do nothing. We have to stay connected with Yeshua. We stay connected with Yeshua by studying his word and doing his word, because from apart from him, we can do nothing. So I just want to read this before we go into intercession here. Prayer is not a religious form with no power. It is to be effective and accurate and bring results. God watches over his word to perform it, Jeremiah 1:12. Prayer that brings results must be based on God's word. Prayer is the living word in our mouths. When we're praying the word, we're praying his will. Our mouths must speak forth faith, for faith is what pleases God, Hebrews 11:6. In other words, believing that God in his timing is bringing an answer, not in our timing. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've had to stand sometimes 5 years, sometimes 10 years, and with the ministry, 15 years to see that vision, that call fully manifest. How long are you willing to stand? A lot of times, you know, we want God to be like a microwave, pipe it in, you know, stick it in the microwave for 5 seconds and it's done. No, prayer takes perseverance and the willingness to wait and continue to pray and intercede as God is working behind the scenes, bringing those answers to us. We hold his word up to him in prayer, and our Father sees himself in his word. God's word is our contact with him. I mean, we see that in the Torah. How many times did Abraham and Moshe bring the covenant promise back to God, saying, Father, you said this, you promised this, you know? And again, it was respectfully, but again, bringing, you know, the Father into remembrance of his word, and he does not get offended when we do that. We put him in remembrance of his word, Isaiah 43:26. Believing God for his ability in the name of Yeshua. The word does not return to him void without producing any effect, unless use, in other words, it is never useless, but it will accomplish that which he pleases and purposes, and it shall prosper in the thing for which he sent it, Isaiah 55:11. It takes someone to pray. God moves as we pray in faith. You know, there is no great move of God that was done without great intercession. Some of the great evangelists back in the 1800s, they were surrounded by intercessors who would a lot of times go into a city before they even got there and spend time in prayer and fasting and interceding before that evangelist got there, preparing the ground for people to receive what was going to be spoken. We need to do that for Shabbat as well. God moves as we pray, again, in faith, believing. God instructs us to call him, and he will answer and show us great and mighty things, Jeremiah 33:3. Prayer is to be exciting, not drudgery. In Ephesians 6, we are instructed to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Ephesians 6:18. So right now I'm focusing on intercession because that's what we're doing. Prayer must be the foundation of every Christian endeavor, every, in our case, Messianic, same thing, Christian endeavor that we do. It has to be the foundation. If we approach what God has called us to do in the flesh, pushing God aside and saying, that's okay, God, I've got this taken care of, we will fail. We have to go forth in his power, in his name, resting in him that he is the one who's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. Prayer must be, again, our foundation. Any failure is a prayer failure. The power lies within God's word, and it is anointed by the Ruach HaKodesh. The Spirit of Yahweh does not lead us apart from the word, for the word is the Spirit of God. Prayer does not cause faith to work, but faith causes prayer to work. Therefore, any prayer problem is a problem of doubt, doubting the integrity of the Word and the ability of God to stand behind His promises or statements of fact in the Word. Again, we need to get rid of the what ifs and the but, or wonder if this happens, because that's speaking forth doubt. You know, we're praying and trusting that, again, as we are praying and as we are interceding, we are trusting that God is working behind the scenes in His timing, bringing to pass what we are standing for, no matter how long it takes. Prayer based upon the Word rises above the senses and contacts the author of the Word and sets His spiritual laws into motion. It is not just saying prayers that gets results, but it's spending time with the Father, learning His wisdom, drawing on His strength, and being filled with His quietness and basking in His love that brings results in our prayers. Our words are powerful. You know, there's so many scriptures that talk about watching the words that come out of our mouth. Again, the spirit world is controlled by the Word of God. God spoke the world, the universe, into existence. The natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's Word. God gave Adam in the beginning power and authority over the earth, but unfortunately he blew it. But Yeshua took that power, that authority back that he gave to the enemy, and gave it back to us. Hallelujah. The spoken word of God is creative power. So that's why, again, we pray the word. We pray, and there's different forms of prayer, but, you know, right now, again, I'm dealing with intercession, and down the road I'll deal with other aspects of prayer. But because this is what we're doing, we need to understand that it's important that as we are praying, that we are standing in faith, knowing that God is watching over His word to perform it, especially, you know, when we're praying for Him to move among our midst, and we're praying to reach the lost for Messiah. You know, like the door hangers were passing out. You know, some people will say, oh, people are just going to throw that in the garbage. Well, that's not what we're believing. We're believing that they're going to see that, and that they're going to hang on to it, and one day they're going to use it. They're going to call that prayer line, or they're going to show up at a church meeting, and it's going to penetrate their heart. We're believing God for results. We're not going out there, you know, wasting money, you know, and not believing God for results. We're believing God for results. And the same thing regarding this tent meeting. You know, we're believing that, you know, that God's going to work it out. Again, I'm just like I did with the conferences. I'm putting the wheels in motion, doing my research, looking around, and seeing. And I already approached the pastor about this, and, you know, he's going to bring it before his board, praying that we have favor and that lives will be changed, lives will be touched. So what we want to, I want to share with you at the close of this teaching as well, and it's actually, you know, Minister Scott's, you know, testimony, but I was just sharing about Lisa. Scott's been ministering, you know, witnessing to his sister for, you know, well, since we've been married 32 years, maybe longer. Oh, yeah. And finally, last night, just to make a long story short, she gave her heart to Messiah and became born again. Says, how can I pray? How can I know Yeshua? And again, this took 32 years of prayer, 32 years of intercession. It didn't happen overnight. It was prayer and sowing the word and believing God that, you know, again, that God brought her, you know, she finally came to that place in her life where she realizes she needs God. So praise God, hallelujah, and I'm hanging on to that. I've been praying for my family for 45 years, and I'm not going to give up. I'm, you know, going to continue to intercede and pray. But again, that is perseverance in prayer. You know, and we were rejoicing, and I was just, oh, Father, I can't wait until our son's the next one coming in. Hallelujah. You know, we can't. Again, when we're praying for our lost families, we have to watch the words that were coming out of our mouth. Oh, they'll never get saved. They're hopeless. You know, they're beyond help. You know, we're negating our prayers. No, we're believing God that just as He knew how to reach us, He knows how to reach our children. you know, and that they are going to come into the kingdom, no matter how long it takes. And that's one of my prayers is, you know, Father, you know, I pray that you bless us before it's our time to go seeing our son serving you. And I've heard, you know, testimonies of many pastors that have had, Billy Graham was one of them, you know, Franklin Graham, a great, you know, evangelist of God. But you know what? He went astray for a while, you know, and it had nothing to do with, again, well, it was the parents' fault. No, it was, you know, our children have free will and choice as well, but it was his prayers that brought him home, and look where he is now. And Perry Stone was sharing about his son who was a drug addict, and again, he's has, you know, three generations of ministers in his life, yet his son came back from the brink of death, you know, and is now is serving God. So we can't, again, you know, feel condemned, you know, a lot of times because our kids are, you know, some of our kids aren't serving him. It's, you know, I believe that God has his hand on them and he's going to bring them home as we continue to intercede and we pray. So again, last night we had a chance to, she wanted me to pray with her. So we prayed. I sent a Bible to her. I sent her this prayers that availeth much. And now I need to disciple her, you know, call her a couple times a week and disciple her and encourage her. You know, because there's a responsibility too when you lead somebody to the Father, to Yeshua, that you know, as best as you can, that you disciple them. So hallelujah, our prayers are availing much. Thank you, Yeshua. Okay, I'm going to turn off the recorder now.